Good morning and welcome to Studies in the Gospels here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host of this program, where each week we study the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And today we are going to complete the section of our study that we have called Great Deeds Amidst Opposition. Today we're going to consider the parable of the unforgiving servant before next week, Lord willing, we move in to a new section of our study. We're going to be considering Matthew chapter 18 verses 21 through 35. Peter had inquired of the Lord about forgiveness with a brother that offends oneself. The Jewish tradition said that the maximum number of times that one had to forgive his brother was three times. So Peter had made some progress in asking if it was seven times. The Jews were already using the baseball analogy of three strikes, you're out. But Jesus was about to turn their traditions upside down by teaching unlimited forgiveness. Notice Matthew 18, verse 21 says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?'" This parable was going to be used to teach the principle of unlimited forgiveness. Forgiveness received must also be freely given. Now let's notice the text now. Let's go back again to verse 21 and we'll go through verse 35. "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant, therefore, fell down before him, saying, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all." Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the tormentors, until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you, if each of you, from his heart, does not forgive his brother who trespasses. So what does this mean? We find a king appointed a day of reckoning with his servants. The king in our parable is representative of God. And the day of reckoning is God's call through the gospel, through which our awareness of sin and the need for forgiveness is realized. Notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. To which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So a servant was found to owe the master a debt of 10,000 talents. Estimates that I see of this have ranged anywhere from 10 to 50 million dollars. Now again, the king here is God, and the servant is the sinner. In our parable, the servant did not have the ability to pay his debt. In fact, he would never be able to pay the debt. And that is exactly the position the sinner finds himself in even today. Our debt to God because of sin is one that we can never have the ability to pay. A completely hopeless situation. Since the sinner, or the servant, rather, could not pay his debt, the king decides to sell him and his family and possessions and raise what funds he could toward the debt. In Palestine in those days, the average wage for a day's work was 1 shilling, which would be equivalent to about 17 cents today. It would take the servant over 200,000 years to pay off his debt. And this well illustrates to us just how impossible our situation is without mercy from God. Now, the practice of selling the man and his possessions may seem unusual to us today, but that was the common practice of the day under the Roman law. But likewise, everything that we have belongs to God ultimately. We might recall the 24th Psalm and verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. The King James and the American Standard in verse 26 says that he fell and worshiped the master, begging him, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all." Now, several things here that we need to notice, and one of those is the fact that God is truly worthy of worship. The 18th Psalm in verse 3 says, "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Also remember John chapter 4 and verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The servant's promise to pay here now truly reveals to us his lack of appreciation for the immensity of the debt he owed. And we will see shortly this attitude revealed in his encounter with his fellow servant shortly after this. Now we find the king was moved with compassion and forgave him the debt. God is compassionate to us, and he forgives us when we acknowledge our sins before him. Our text tells us that he was moved with compassion. That is a very strong expression. The suggestion is of an inward pain, a pain that is caused by the desire to relieve the sufferings of someone else. But this should not be a surprising statement at all to us when we consider who our God is. For one, our God is love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 says that he who does not love God does not know God, for God is love. We find that God is full of mercy. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us." The word that is translated forgive means to send away. The 103rd Psalm in verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." The prophet Micah in chapter 7 and verse 9 said he will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. The Bible is quite clear that we cannot work off our sins. But God, in his infinite grace and mercy, will forgive. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so, the forgiven servant goes and finds a fellow servant that owes him 100 denarii. And he uses violent tactics to force him to pay up his debt. But the fellow servant is like the man who has sinned against his brother. As mentioned earlier, a shilling being a day's wage, about 17 cents, so thus 100 denarii would be about $17. Just how insignificant is a $17 debt in comparison to the multi-million dollar debt of this unforgiving servant. And likewise, how insignificant is your slight offense between brethren compared to our debt to God for our offenses toward Him? The servant's lack of compassion shows us just how ungrateful he was for his own forgiveness. But we are often the same way. How quickly we forget. Like the servant, the fellow servant sought forgiveness, though it had been extended to the servant. He withheld from his fellow servant. And far too often Christians have been unforgiving. Though men may at times refuse to offer forgiveness, God will never fail to offer forgiveness when He is sought out in the way He has appointed for man. Now notice again verse 32. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me." When other people saw the conduct of the unforgiving servant, they reported it to the king. A brother with such a spirit will also cause indignation in others. Brethren should be offended when a brother displays such a lack of love. And so the king called the unforgiving servant to another day of reckoning and rebuked him and sent him away to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due him. In other words, he sent him away forever. God will also permanently cast out those who do not show mercy to others. And thus, as such, we can see that the tormentors here are representative of hell. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 5 says, "And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Indeed, the tormentor's torment will be forever, until all is paid, is obviously forever. There is no false doctrine of purgatory, but permanent removal. Matthew 25 and verse 46 says, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Now in verse 35, the Lord made the application to each of his disciples. Jesus makes it very clear that God will punish those individuals who withhold forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, Jesus said, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Matthew chapter 7 verse 2, "For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." James chapter 2 verse 13 says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now notice in verse 35 again, he said, each of you. We see that judgment will be an individual accountability on the day of reckoning. Jesus shows us that forgiveness must come from the heart and not merely from the lips. So now as we sum this up, let's notice the applications for us from this parable. By virtue of the king-servant relationship, God owns us. And because of our sins, we are under an unpayable debt to God. There is no way that we could ever earn our release from this debt. There is no salvation by works. God is lovingly compassionate, though, toward the sinner. The Lord must be sought in his appointed way. The servant failed to appreciate his own salvation. If we appreciate it, then we will be forgiving to others. We can also understand from this parable that the debts that are committed against us are small compared to the things which we have done against our King. And though God is love, God will punish those who are unforgiving. Lessons from the parable of the unforgiving servant. This brings also to a close our section of study in the life of Christ that we've called Great Deeds Amidst Opposition, and the Year of Development in Jerusalem. I hope you'll join us for that study. So until we meet again, if the Lord wills, this is Chris saying so long, and I hope you have a wonderful day.